right. Well, as mentioned before, maybe I scared individuals away by having the teaching of Proverbs chapter 2. And so we want to get right to that tonight and have plenty of time for prayer here in just a little while. All right, let's go to Proverbs chapter 2, and we're fewer tonight than we normally have, so we'll look at Proverbs chapter 2 and see, are any of you men, for those of you who are watching live stream, several weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, we started this series on Proverbs, where the first time we visit Proverbs chapter, whatever chapter it is, I'll do some teaching from what God's laid on my heart, and then the next week, the men of the church, various ones. We did it last time, and it was such a blessing. And so tonight, we are continuing that, and we may have one, we may have four or five, or however many, but we'll go as far as we can and look forward to what God has for us. So why don't we do this? Let's look at Proverbs in chapter number 2, and what a great chapter it is. And as you'll remember, last time I spoke about last Wednesday night from Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Now the verse just before that is where I really started. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And that is certainly what we need in our daily walk with the Lord, isn't it? We need that, whether it's in our business world, whether it's financial, whether it's in our relationships, whatever it is, we need what he talks about in verse number 6. We need knowledge and understanding, and they all found their place of origin in the wisdom of God. Oh, how unsearchable is his wisdom and his knowledge and all. But then he says here, out of his mouth cometh. So we are the ones who hear, maybe not audibly, but in our hearts, through the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit teaching us and guiding us into all truth, that what a blessing it is when we have his knowledge and understanding. But then in verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Well, I taught that last time. So do we have any men prepared tonight that as you read Proverbs chapter 2, the Lord just laid on your heart a blessing that you can share with us? Do we have any men like that tonight? Okay, one, two, all right. Any others? Three, wonderful. Well, that'll be fine. Why don't we start with Brother Ron, and then we'll go to Brother Jesse here, and then back to Brother Don there. And if any of the others, men with us, have something they want to contribute to Proverbs chapter 2 and the commentary, then just feel free to come ahead as well. All right. So Brother Ron, if you'll start us off, and then Brother Corallo, if you'll go next. All right.
The Lord kind of laid this on my heart as I was studying this, and starts off in the very first verse, my son. He's wanting to teach us something. He's wanting us to see something and understand. And then notice the master teacher, God to Solomon, Solomon to his family members, the Lord to us. But I see here the authority figure wanting to teach us. And the very next word, my son, if, the condition. There's a condition to it.
That's right.
There's a price. If you're going to know wisdom, if you're going to know knowledge, if you're going to know understanding, there's a price that has to be paid. The price is if you receive the words.
Yes.
Throughout the whole book of Proverbs, it's full of precepts, principles, statutes, commands, and yes, promises.
Amen.
The precepts that God lays out for us to go by, the statutes that he lays down for us. He lays those statutes out and the precepts out because he has a plan for us if we know wisdom, if we know knowledge, and if we want to know him. He has a plan for us. But there's a price that has to be paid. Number one, you've got to understand the precepts and the statutes and the commandments that he has, that he's laid out into his word. If thou wilt receive my word. Okay, there's a price to be paid that you've got to receive the word of God. Then God has a plan for you. And hide my commandments with thee. The plan is to take the word of God and to live by those precepts, by those statutes, by those commands, and claim the promises that God has given us here in his word. And if we'll do that, pay the price, and the price being, and I say a price because it's a self-endured type price. You've got to be motivated to want to do that yourself, to receive the word of God. And then a plan in your life to live by those statutes, those principles, those precepts that are laid out in the word of God. And when you do that, there'll be proof in your life that you have wisdom, that you have knowledge, and that you have understanding. And that's what it's saying here. The master teacher, God to Solomon, Solomon to the, as he writes this, and individuals, Jesus Christ to us, the authority figure, my son, if. Are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to follow the plan? And let it be proof in our life that we're living for God. That's what the Lord spoke to my heart about, and I like what he says here. If thou wilt receive my word, it's up to us as individuals to do that. And when we do it, what comes our way? Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And understanding the things of God, that's the important thing about it. What a blessing that is to be able to understand what God's plan is for us if we would take his word and receive it. That's all I have.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ron. All right, Proverbs chapter 2. And I was looking at verse 6. I read the whole chapter several times and asked the Lord's guidance what to look at, some thoughts. And I don't know if it's the Lord being in all caps there in verse 6, but it really drew my attention there at that first phrase. Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." And I don't intend to repeat what Pastor already presented in that neighborhood or that vicinity, but I'm emphasized there, the Lord gives, God gives. And I was thinking my thoughts went back to chapter 1, kind of laying a foundation there with some of the different words and that God is the source of wisdom, but it doesn't stop there with God being a source. God is then active. He gives wisdom. And so then I got to thinking about the goodness of God as it relates to the gifts that he gives. And so then I was just thinking about the topic of things that are good. The nature of good, wherever it may be found in life, in a person, in an object, the nature of good is that it gives. Otherwise, why would we accept anything into our lives if we perceive that it's good? It gives us something. Whenever you and I evaluate an object or a person, our assessment of its goodness or degree of goodness is generally based on what it gives or what it provides. As I evaluate security controls, tools, even weapons, I'm looking for those things that provide good benefit and avoiding those things that would provide or give detriment. Assessments of people, we look for the qualities that give or facilitate good benefit to ourselves and to others. God is by far the very best being of all beings in every capacity Therefore, he is and always will be the greatest giver. The kindness of God is manifested in the character of what he gives, in his many gifts. The abundance of his giving is revealed in the abundance of his gifts. And so we learn that we will assess character and disposition of people and of things, mostly people, by what they give and how they give. And the book of James lays out very clearly for us, I'm not going to go through it, but James chapter 1 lays out that all of God's gifts are good and they are perfect, and God himself gives it ungrudgingly. He gives it liberally and freely. And I want to look at Jeremiah 17 very briefly, because this idea, we're going to close with a verse in Proverbs, but I'm contrasting this idea. If God's gift of wisdom, he's the source, he's very benevolent, he is active, he wants to be giving more wisdom, and appreciate what Brother Ron shared, there is condition here. What's the problem? Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, we're familiar with these things. The heart, speaking of man's heart, a woman's heart, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord speaking in verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. That first part about the heart being deceitful, the fact that the human heart is deceitful explains why our world is full of lies, and truth is very rare. Lies are found in politics, news media, history studies, sociology, anthropology, philosophy, ethics, religion, psychology, origins, economics. It permeates society. It is in almost every element that we would engage with. Well, there's a problem. The heart is deceitful. Man's heart is not only deceitful, but it is desperately wicked. It is terribly wicked. Well, Mark chapter 7 says this. Jesus said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. End of verse 9 there in Jeremiah 17 says, who can know it? And the reason I'm emphasizing this is because we desperately need God's gift of wisdom. We can't even know our own heart. It is unknowable, per God's testimony here. We try to understand. The world tries through psychology and philosophy, but it's in vain. We must have God's divine help. And the way of a wise Christian living, one significant element of the path of the Christian life is the refusal to trust one's heart. Constantly, and it's not wrong to say the words, I think or I feel. I believe that's appropriate in a given context if it is spirit-led. But oftentimes in society, and this can happen even in a local church, it can happen in my life, I get into a situation and I just simply think, well, I think this or I feel this. What about this deceitful and desperately wicked heart that could be in me? We must refuse to trust our own heart, our own thinking, our own emotions, and cast ourselves exclusively upon God and his words. Because verse 10 there in Jeremiah 17, my heart, your heart will be searched by God. He will search it. And Jesus Christ is the only man since Adam that was born with a pure heart. And this is most critical to the point that I'm trying to drive home. We all have deceitful and desperately wicked hearts. I'm not speaking critically tonight. That's the testimony that's given to us. In contrast is God's perfect heart exemplified and demonstrated in the life of Jesus Christ. He was holy. He was undefiled. He did no sin. No guile was found in his mouth. He is without sin. There is no sin in him. He knew no sin. Therefore, each and every man and woman will be subject to many dangers until they get wisdom. The reputation is in danger. Your goods, your assets will be in danger. Your own body, your life will be in danger. and ultimately the soul is in danger of eternal misery. Therefore, let's close with Proverbs 2:10. Not really going to explain it, but just read it here. Proverbs 2:10 says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart," that's where it's needed, isn't it? It's that desperately wicked thing that's in me. "But when God's wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul," wisdom will be unpleasant to you or to me until it enters our heart. We must always approach God heart first, not head first. So much of society is pushing for intellectualism and scholarship and so many of these other things. God just wants our heart, so that he will work in that heart. Then it will be found pleasant to us, and it will work the work.
So dovetailing in with what Brother Jesse and Brother Ron were saying, I guess the verses that I focused on were verses 10 through 17, that whole section there in chapter 2. And it talks about wisdom entering into your heart. So I think obviously what's being discussed there, or what Solomon is writing here, is he's referring to God's wisdom. You know, so when God's wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul, unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil, and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. In other words, it keeps you out of trouble. That's what he's saying there. And then further, he goes on to say that it will deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of God. Of her God. So I guess the thing that jumped out at me reading this section is, I guess, a bit of irony, because the man who wrote this is the smartest man that ever lived, had more knowledge in his head than any man who's ever lived, King Solomon. And yet, you know, having all that knowledge didn't keep him out of trouble. He, you know, as it says in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love." In other words, Solomon turned away from the Lord. Even though he was the smartest man who ever lived, that knowledge by itself didn't preserve him. It didn't keep him. It didn't deliver him from the way of the evil man. It didn't deliver him from the strange woman. He took up with many strange women. And so it's just a reminder that wisdom and knowledge by themselves are not all they're cracked up to be by themselves. Right. It has to be wisdom from God. Amen. It has to be something that comes into your heart. And all you have to do is just go forward into chapter 3 and to verses 5 and 6 of chapter 3. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." So no matter how much knowledge you have, no matter your expertise on whatever subject it is, I'm an engineer. I have lots of technical knowledge about things. I know how to do many, many things. But I'm lost as a human being if I don't do that, if I don't trust in the Lord with all my heart and let Him direct my paths. And just bookending this, you know, if we were to jump forward into New Testament times, Jesus's ministry, Book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 28, from the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, and he's talking about thought. I'm sorry, verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon, the smartest guy in the world. You know, he didn't have it made. He wasn't arrayed like one of these lilies in the field. He wasn't as glorious and splendid as one of these lilies of the field. And Jesus goes further and says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So, you know, faith is the thing that makes all the difference here. Faith in the Lord, trusting in the Lord with all thine heart, letting Him direct our paths. And in verse 33, in the same chapter of Matthew, you know, Jesus says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So, you know, everything that you want, everything that you need, really everything that you need, not things that you want, but everything that you need to live and all the decisions that you need to make in life, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So, you know, the message that I take away from all this is being the smartest guy in the world or the smartest guy in the room, whatever, that's not enough. You've got to have that fear of the Lord. You've got to let the Lord into your heart. And we're very fortunate now in the New Testament church that we have that Holy Spirit. You know, I have to remind myself that in the Old Testament times, the time Proverbs was written, they had the law. They had those 613 rules that they had to obey. And I think it's fair to say they mostly memorized them. I think that's what a lot of the students did at that time, young men growing up. They were required to memorize those 613 rules of the Torah when they studied the Torah. And, you know, a lot of details in there, a lot of little things you have to remember, some things you have to remember to do and other things you remember not to do. And Proverbs is wonderful, Psalms is wonderful for the same reason, is that you have all these biblical principles that are here. If you can just take those biblical principles to heart, whether it's by having them in the form of song and psalms or having them in the form of written principles in the book of Proverbs, it's easier to take those principles to heart and let God work on you through your heart and through those principles than to have to remember all these individual rules. So that was what I took away from that. Thanks.
Thank you. All right. Are there any other men that have come in that are wanting to participate in that? If I could just jump in on one more thing as well, and just kind of continues with what Brother Don was speaking about in this second chapter. And just one thing, if you'll remember in Romans chapter 1, you remember for the righteousness of God is, well, he talks about for the gospel of Christ is Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But you'll remember the next verse, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of men. You remember the next phrase? Who hold the truth in what? unrighteousness. That's exactly right. So they know the truth because God's given it to them, and yet they depart from the truth. They are holding it in unrighteousness. It may be a lie about it. It may be just messing with it and putting things in there that don't belong. Well, you see that same thing in Proverbs chapter 2. Now, Brother Don referred to it. Notice, if you will, talking about verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Notice the testimony it gives of that man. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. So this isn't someone who didn't know what was right to do. This is someone who knew what was right to do. You can't leave somewhere unless you're there. Okay? I can't leave Hendersonville unless I'm in Hendersonville. And it's talking about this individual that I believe Brother Corallo said about it being the capital L-O-R-D that has the idea of Jehovah God. And as well as Brother Ron, it has as he gave his verses, talks about the condition, if. So when we come to verse number 13, it talks about who speaketh forward things, verse 12, who leave the paths of uprightness. Why? They have an ambition to walk in the ways of darkness. Now, they probably don't say, well, I want to walk in darkness. I want to stumble. I want to really mess up. No. But they go in directions that those directions are ways of darkness. Now, they may be enjoyment. It may be a relationship. It may be a lot of things. But when you take it apart and you begin to evaluate it, this couldn't be from God because it has temptation embedded in it. It has defilement that's a part of its very nature. So he says about this man who leave, this man who leave the paths of uprightness. But let's don't go just with the gentleman. Notice what he says about the wayward woman. Notice verse number 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Notice what it says in verse 17, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Now, maybe it doesn't strike you, but boy, it strikes me that this fellow, Randy Bray, can fall into those same kinds of things. It may not be the same sin as we see here in this text, but he's dealing with sensual or sexual kinds of sins, but it may be laziness, it may be jealousy, it may be bitterness, it may be whatever it is, but the starting point is not the sin. The starting point is not even temptation. The starting point is referenced here is for the young man. He's in the paths of uprightness. He's there. But he leaves there because he wants to participate. Or for this woman who we would call here, according to this, the strange woman. But it says she forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of God. Why? She's doing it intentionally because of alternate ambitions that she might have. So what that says to Randy Bray, and maybe to you tonight, is I better stay on guard. Because the Bible says every one of us, this is James that was quoted a little bit ago, but a different text, James says that we are all led away of our own lust, our own passions, and enticed. Now, my passions may be different or the same as Brother Kitchen's or Brother Steve over here. Mine may be the same or different than his, but they are mine. It's in the possessive there, our own lust or our own passions and enticed. So it may be for one here tonight, it may be bitterness. For me, it may be discouragement or jealousy or whatever else it might be. Or it could be one of these sexual sins. So I have to be on guard for the areas of my life in which I know. I got to be careful here because I could either leave the paths of uprightness. If I give in to what there's kind of a desire with me, and if I'm not careful, if that desire is just a little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit, but it's still there, if I give in to that, I will soon find myself well, I can't hear enough or see enough of that, so I'm just going to move over here. I'm still close to here, but I'm just going to kind of move over here. And, boy, that was good. You know what? A little bit more. I'm not going to go way over here. No, no, no. I'll just go over here with that attitude or action or ambition. And before long, I find myself just moving incrementally a little at a time. And I'm like the man who leaves the paths of uprightness. Or if I was a lady, but the same thing could happen to me as being a man. If I leave the counsel of my youth. If I leave what it says here, she forsaketh. Where is that? Forsaketh the guide of her youth. Now, I don't know who the guide was. It may have been mama. It may have been daddy. It may have been the priest in the Old Testament. It may have been a good best friend that was helping to say, wait a minute, be careful there. Because I'm reminded of what Paul told Timothy. He said, flee also youthful lusts. There's the word, lusts, passions. But he says, follow after righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. I've quoted it a number of times since I've been here. But I need this regularly. It says, follow after righteous faith, charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And that's what we've heard about tonight from Brother Don. That's what we've heard about tonight from a righteous standpoint, from my brother here. Or even the fact that what Brother Ron was saying is there's a condition. We have a choice to make. But we look at it from the negative side, as Brother Don was helping us to see, is wait a minute. My place of starting is loving God. But if I'm not careful, I'll fall into what Paul said about the Romans that did that. It says, who handled the truth in unrighteousness. Oh my. And then before long, as you go down in Romans 1, excuse me, not only are they handling it unrighteous, now they change the truth of God into a lie. And then they just keep on going down and down because they just moved a little at a time, little at a time, little at a time, little at a time. I think Becky will probably remember the lady of whom I spoke, or I speak. But in Asheville, we had a husband and wife, professional people, but they love snakes. They just love snakes. I'm not sure you can be saved and love snakes. No, I'm teasing. All right. Some people just love how they're made and how they can move so fast and not have legs on those critters and everything else. Well, they raised boa constrictors. And so I was visiting in their house one day, and they said, would you like to see our pets? And, oh, yeah, what do you have, dog? No, no, no. Do you have birds? I think they actually did have birds. What else do you have? They said, oh, we have some snakes. Oh, really? Hasta luego, hermano, hermana. I'm out of here, you know. I don't like live snakes. I don't love dead snakes. I don't love rubber snakes. I don't like any kind of snake. But they said, come on, they're in a cage, there's no problem, they're not going to get out, and they have been our pets for years, and they had been. They have a long life. The people that raised them had a long life thus far. I hope they're still living, but they'd had these snakes. So I get in, here's this, I mean, he's about that big around, and they had two or three of them. Well, that went on. I was her pastor for several years, and it went on, and then one day I noticed that she came to church, and her hand was bandaged all up. And I thought, well, maybe she got in a wreck or got whatever. And I said, sister, what? I did you get your hand caught in the door? What happened? And she kind of hem-hawed around. And she said, well, not exactly. And she kind of hem-hawed around a little bit. And then finally she said, and I forgot the name of the snake. She said, evidently, after we fed it the night before, we must not have gotten the cage top on securely. And so the snake got out and got down. They lived in a double-wide trailer, and where the air conditioner, the heating thing came up through the floor, evidently the snake got that off and got down into the thing. Well, it must have gone down backwards somehow. I don't know what it did or turned around. I don't know what it did. So they looked all over for that thing, was her testimony. And then finally they figured out, wait a minute, the cap is off of that as well. So they began doing the investigation, and sure enough, there was Herman or whatever the snake's name was. Well, they had fed that snake and loved on it and allowed it to get around them and all of that, just all kinds of goofy things. But that was their pet for years. And so she was coaxing it out as her pet. And she reached down, and evidently the pet was nervous or something, and the snake latched onto her arm and would not let go and did a lot of damage to her hand. Now, here's my point. If you and I are not careful, after what we've learned, that God wants to give us wisdom, as we've heard it, and knowledge and understanding. We heard a lot about that tonight. And then we've heard about getting away from the Lord, and that's not God's will. He wants us to be in His will. But if we're not careful, just a little here and a little there and a little here will cozy up to what's in darkness. And it may be an attitude. It may be a TV program. It may be whatever it is. But it has defilement embedded in it. And it will let us play with it. We'll wrap our... I mean, we can leave it where it is. We can put it back in its cage. And we can go to church. And we can have our devotions. And do all kinds of righteous things. But sooner or later, the bite's going to come. And when it comes, the devil always latches on. He waits. It's like the lion. Now, I don't know if this is true or not. But what I've been told is that in lion country... In fact, we have some young people from Africa that are a part of the college there. And the young man, I think it was Josiah, told me, and I can't remember exactly how he worded it. I worded it to the class in one way, and basically he confirmed it, but he worded it in a different way, that a lion does not roar when it's on the hunt. A lion does not roar until it is certain of its victim. And then when he's got it within arm's reach or a pounce or whatever it is, he is bold enough to let him know, let that victim know, that prey know, that he's got him. You're not going anywhere. I have you. Maybe he's got his paw on it. I don't know. But the point I'm trying to make is the devil never comes at us, usually like the roaring lion, unless it's to intimidate us, to keep us from doing God's will. But oftentimes, the subtlety of the devil is what draws us in. And that's why Proverbs 1 is these three men tonight have helped us to realize. But as God laid me back to that passage, and as I reviewed it again yesterday and again today, as I reviewed it, I was reminded, wait a minute, these people, they were standing in the place of uprightness and had the right kind of people guiding them since their youth. And yet, where are they now? They're led away. Wisdom's been left behind for the world. Let's be careful that we don't fall into that same way. Does that make sense? And that's for every one of us, especially the guy that's speaking to you tonight, at least at this moment. Well, good. All right. Well, live stream folks, we've been delighted to have you with us. And so we're going to kind of break into groups of men and ladies here in just a moment and go to prayer. But by the way, those who are live stream, are they still with us, brother? They are? Okay. If you're live stream with us and you have prayer requests, if you will email those to the church, or you can email them to me, randywbray@yahoo.com, randywbray@yahoo.com, or during the day, just call the church. Either Brother Mintz will answer, or I'll answer, or you can leave it on the voicemail, and we will present those prayer requests in our Wednesday evening services. So we're going to say goodbye to our live stream folks as I meet with these, and we'll have the ladies pray with the ladies and the gentlemen pray with the men, and then we'll be dismissed. Yes, ma'am.